from two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska. This is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dog Works Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dog Works Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Saib Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming, and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood Sibes on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Side Vibe here on Dog Works Radio. You can hear us anytime. Just search for Dog Works Radio on Facebook or Twitter. And you can even find us on iTunes by searching the same thing, Dog Works Radio. And I'm going to pull up our host for the Side Vibe. She is known as the Five Sides Mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery. Dorothy, how's it going?
Hi, Robert. It's going well. How about with you?
It is going well. It is springtime here in Alaska. Things are melting quickly. How is it over in New York?
Well, it was springtime yesterday. Today, I think it wants to go back to winter, but hopefully this week it'll go back to spring. But we are finally out from under over 2 feet of snow. So I think we're on our way.
You guys had a pretty remarkable winter there in the Northeast, didn't you?
Yes, some would say it's remarkable. Other people would say they're ready to go south. I think it's all relative. Yes, we had an extraordinary winter. It's probably more of an old-time New York winter. We just have been spoiled and really haven't had one like this in a while. The thing that I wouldn't mind is when we get the snow, if the temperatures could kind of, you know, hang around 20, 30. But we had some really bitter cold temperatures this year, which just made everything icy and just more harder to maneuver. And we're all kind of ready for the spring weather. And I know the Huskies all have spring fever. Even my boy Gibson, he's not laying around so much. He gets up now more and walks around, and he's more energetic, so they're ready.
Can you give us a quick update? I know we do this a couple of every other month or so. We give a quick update on all of your dogs because so many people follow your Facebook posts and blog, but we don't often talk about your dogs. Can you give us a rundown on how all five of them are doing pretty quickly?
I sure can. It's been a busy winter on that front as well. Harley, who's our alpha, she's the black and white. She just turned 10 on March 10th, and right now she's dealing with some arthritis issues in her hind end. So she started laser therapy, and we're going to be looking at some other more holistic measures for her at this point. I'm in conversations with my vet, and we're going to probably be starting something for her in the near future, and I'll be posting about that. And Gibson, who, as most people know, is my epi dog, the dog with canine epilepsy, and he injured his back, and he has been in rehab for over a year. And I'm very pleased to say that while he can't walk great distances, he can now get himself up and walk around the house to a bit. So that is a really wonderful thing to say. So we're working on, you know, he's still in the lift harness, but I give him more headway now to start walking and building up those back muscles. So it's really great. I'm actually going to get ready to post, you know, an update on him because, you know, as you know, we've been doing conservative care with him, and knock on wood, he's doing good. He does have to have some surgery this Friday. He has a growth on his leg we've been watching for over a year, so you know, all positive thoughts will be great. But our vet's actually going to be, you know, coming here. They're going to do it. They're going to freeze the growth off, and hopefully everything will go well.
How old is he, Dorothy?
Gibson just turned 9.
Nine.
He turned 9 in January, so he was diagnosed with canine epilepsy shortly after he turned 3. So all this is like really positive things for him. So he's really a great inspiration to me, and he's a wonderful boy. And then there's the three pupsters, and that's Chloe, Wolf, and Bandit, and they're doing good. Chloe just had a bout where she had I hadn't yet posted it, but she somehow ingested something, and she's the one husky who never eats anything. And somehow she wound up with probably a piece of fabric from her blanket, but everything worked out well, and she's doing good. And Bandit's great, and Wolf just had a little growth on his lip removed, but he's doing great as well.
And how old are they?
They just turned 7 in January. So we're 7, 9, and 10.
Very cool.
I know, my babies are growing up.
they grew up so quickly, too. You know, a lot of people ask about our dogs, and very quickly, our oldest dog in our kennel, I'm sure you've heard about him before, Dorothy, but he is Ringo. He is one of our leaders. He is 15 now, and he still wants to run on
wonderful.
The sled and carry on and loves it. So always good vibes, and I always like to talk about this in the early spring because, you know, it is that sign of renewal, that sign of new beginnings, and I always like to hear a little dog story as we head into spring. So let's talk to our guest today. Who is that, and what is she all about?
All right. Well, our guest is going to be Kimberly Matcham, and she is the Hugh mom to Rolo. And before I get into introducing her, and I want to give a little bit of background about her and the work that she does, I just want to mention that, Robert, this is, you know, a couple times a year our big canine epilepsy awareness shows. And, you know, canine epilepsy awareness, of course, is so important. As most of our listeners and Five Side followers know, it's a cause that really is near and dear to my heart, inspired by Gibson, who we were just talking about. You know, I also launched with him my Live Gibstrong Canine Epilepsy Awareness Campaign, where we share epi tips and valuable information and resources on canine epilepsy, all during the month of November, which is Epilepsy Awareness Month. Also now, there was a newly created International Epilepsy Day, which the first one was held this past February 9th, and future ones are going to be held on the second Monday of February, I believe. And, of course, March 26th, which is coming up, and that's International Purple Day, and that's in support of epilepsy around the world. And I've been official Purple Day ambassador since 2012. And these 3 months really highlight awareness for both humans and canines living with epilepsy on a global basis. And just, I would just like to take just a couple seconds here just to let people know about Purple Day who may not be aware of what it's all about, because they'll be starting to see a lot of things in the social media turn purple. They'll be hearing a lot of reference about purple. So it is actually, it was founded in 2008 by a 9-year-old girl, Cassie Megan of Nova Scotia, Canada, the home country of our guest. And with the help of the Epilepsy Association of Nova Scotia, Cassie's goal was for that people with epilepsy everywhere to know they're not alone and to wear purple, hold a purple event, and share purple photos to help spread the message. And to learn more about Cassie and her Global Purple Day partners, just visit www.purpleday.org. And folks can also go visit our Five Subs YouTube channel and check out our Purple Day for Canine Epilepsy video that features many beautiful epi dogs and epi fur angels. You know, from across the world. And as an ambassador along with Gibson, we like to not only spread the word about epilepsy awareness during these months, but every day. And so I just want to let folks know that on March 26th, we'll be featuring a Purple Day blog post that will be a blog hop. And that's where others who post a blog article that day or a photo, if they can do something purple, whether it's, you know, put their pet in purple, or, you know, maybe they might use a photo type program and turn the photo purple, or even write a little bit about canine epilepsy, and then link up to our blog on March 26th, and they can go there anytime after 12:01 a.m. and read the details of how to link up, and that's at fivesides.blogspot.com. And if they have a Facebook page, please turn it purple, change your cover photo, profile photo, something purple, and then you can share those purple pet pics over on our Five Sides Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews page. And I really invite everyone so that we can spread this awareness about others on the topic of canine epilepsy. And on my blog, my March 26th blog post, I'm also going to include the Purple Day video, also information on how to get Gibby snacks, which were formulated by House Wolf in Vermont, and they donate $1 per bag to the Wally Foundation for canine epilepsy. And just one more thing before we start is on March 26th. It's going to be an especially important day here because it's going to be the formal public release of my latest book, Epic Dog Tales, Heartfelt Stories About Amazing Dogs Living and Loving Life with Canine Epilepsy, and that's through our publishing house, Arctic House Publishing. This book is really special. Robert, you know I've been working on it for 2 years, and right before Christmas it was finally completed. It was a big, exciting time, and we did a pre-release to those who had EpiStars featured in the book, which is 264 pages, and it tells the story of 124 amazing Epi dogs, dogs with epilepsy across the world. And it serves not only as a tribute to these warriors, but also important, valuable resources I've collected over the years and wanted to share with others. So if they're faced with canine epilepsy, they're not alone, and there are people, places, resources available to them, and it's all just a keystroke away. The book also supports Apple Canine Foundation, which is home to the Canine Epilepsy Resources, which is at www.canine-epilepsy.com. And the M is fun through the North Carolina State University College of Veterinary Medicine. So I'm really hoping that we can sell a lot of these books, not only to get the books out there as a resource, but hopefully to raise some funds to help this amazing group continue the valuable research and studies they do in the world of canine epilepsy. And so throughout this book, I really come to get to know a lot of these beautiful Epi warriors and Epi angels, and I truly feel a connection with their Hugh parents, and it's just really, really a very special book, and I really hope it will serve as a go-to reference for years to come. And one of the Epi stars of the book is the beautiful Epi dog of today's guest, Kimberly Matcham, and she's the author of the Confessions of a Rescue Mom blog. She's an animal advocate and Hugh mom to Epi dog Rolo, and he's a Husky and German Shepherd mix, and he has canine epilepsy. And Kimberly and her husband adopted, they're both from Alberta, Canada, and she resides there with Rolo and her stepson and husband Brett, and they adopted Rolo and with canine epilepsy. So before we introduce her, I just want to give you a little bit about her. She's a self-proclaimed animal lover all her life, and she says that ever since she came into this world, she's always been surrounded by loving animals, supportive parents, who taught her how to treat them as family and not just as pets. As a baby, she says she's had a Springer Spaniel named Shadow that passed away from a rare form of blood cancer, after which her parents then adopted a black lab she named Sparky Lee. She says that they had an unbreakable bond and that, quote, we were sisters, unquote. As Kimberly describes the relationship, Kimberly credits Sparky with getting her through many tough times in life, and she says, quote, the best therapists have four legs. When Sparky passed, she said she felt a big void in her heart. Almost 4 years later, her then-boyfriend, now-husband, Brett, was looking to add a new member to the family and asked her to come up to the local SPCA and check out a shelter dog named Apollo, who was an Epi dog, as I mentioned. That did not stop them from adopting him into their family, and his name was changed to Rolo, and his life was forever changed. Today, Rolo, who is on medications to help his canine epilepsy, is a true warrior. Together, he and Kimberly advocate for canine epilepsy awareness whenever and wherever they can, including on her blog that currently boasts over 2,330 followers and has blossomed into what she calls, quote, a go-to reference for all things furry. In 2014, Confessions of a Rescue Mom blog was named a nominee for the Canadian WeBlog Awards in two categories. And in 2015, Rolo was runner-up as Canadian Dog of the Year in the Canadian Dogs Annual Magazine. And he's also a featured EpiStar in my newest book, Epic Dog Tales. Kimberly, welcome to the Sci-Vibe.
Thanks so much for having us.
You know, it's we do a lot of talking online, so it's really great to actually do it voice-to-voice.
I know.
And I know Rolo's there with you, so that's exciting.
Is. He doesn't bark, so maybe we can get some squeaks out of him.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Kimberly, I'd like you to tell our readers a little bit about when you and Brett went to the SPCA to meet Rolo, who we said earlier was known as Apollo then. You mentioned to me he was unlike any other dog you've met. How so, and what was it about this Husky German Shepherd mix that really touched your heart?
Well, we purchased our first home, and we knew we had to fill it with a dog. We knew because of our work schedules that a puppy wouldn't be suitable for us because we wouldn't be able to put into the time to properly train it and everything like that. So we went up to the local SPCA for about 2 weeks looking for a dog that fit our family. So I got a text from Brett saying to head up there to go check out this dog because he was different. So when I walked into the SPCA, it's divided into two different kennels. One's K1, which is for the smaller dogs, and then K2, which is for the bigger dog, like Rolo. As soon as I walked through K2, it was extremely loud, lots of barking, jumping. It was chaos. And I remember on the right-hand side of the kennel, third kennel in, was Apollo sitting there. He was quiet, didn't bark, didn't jump. He was just sitting there, kind of like, adopt me. So I asked the kennel attendant to take Apollo outside to, like, see how he was, not in his cage, and he wouldn't even come near me. And I was so shocked because my entire life, dogs didn't run from me. I'm not a scary person, and I kind of made it my mission to make this dog trust me, and we did that.
Now, I love hearing origins of dogs' names, so tell us about the name change from Apollo to Rolo.
So I did find out a little background information about Apollo. So he was a stray that was picked up. He was brought to the shelter. I'm going to guess that they probably just picked the name because with being a stray, it's not like they know what their name is.
Right.
So he got adopted out to a family and got brought back. The family changed his name to Solo, but once he got brought back to the shelter, they changed his name back to Apollo. And it was kind of like spacey, something that wasn't really into our family. So we didn't want to change it too drastically because, like, he was an older dog, so you wouldn't want to change his name Apollo to, like, Chester or something. So
mm-hmm.
we kind of went with, like, the same thing. And if you've seen a picture of Rolo, like, he's kind of Rolo-colored. He's a tri-colored shepherd husky, and I love candy, so Rolo was very fitting.
Now, as you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that about the name change because, you know, I often hear that folks change adopted names for dogs and, you know, a new name for a new life. But how well did he respond to the new name? And, you know, how long do you think it took before he realized he was Rolo? Or was it something pretty instant?
I think it was pretty instant. I don't really remember him taking very long to know his name because I don't think he knew what his name was before. So even if I say the word Apollo or Solo, he doesn't do anything. But if I say Rolo, like, he looks right at me.
Now, not only did Rolo have canine epilepsy, but he was already, you know, as you stated, he was an older dog, so he's already considered a senior dog. But not me. I have to say, I still think my 10 and 9-year-olds are young, so in some eyes. Some people may think he had two things working against him, age and a health issue. Yet that didn't stop you from welcoming him into your home, and I think that's wonderful, and I know that's part of our message today as well. Did you have any notions about age going in, you know, or was that ever a concern?
I don't think it was ever a concern because I think all animals, no matter breed, age, size, if they happen to be special needs or hurt and need recovering, I think that they all deserve a loving home and family, whether it's a senior and it's their time to retire, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what life is about, working with the challenges and getting over them together.
Yeah, excellent. You know, because so many times, you know, we hear these stories about these older dogs, you know, they have a wonderful life and all of a sudden they find themselves in a shelter and it just breaks your heart, you know. So going in and adopting a senior dog, I just think is wonderful, you know, giving them that loving retirement home. So many times we hear very sad stories of people who, once they discover their dog has seizures, they give it up to a shelter or they have the dog euthanized, which, you know, really troubles me. I understand sometimes, you know, there are medical conditions, but on the side where there aren't any underlying medical conditions for seizures, you know, I think sometimes people, they're just not educated on canine epilepsy. It may scare them. But yet here you are. You went into this adoption with full disclosure. Rolo was an epi dog. He had canine epilepsy. It takes a very special person to really take on a dog with special needs. And, you know, maybe you can just tell us what went through your head when you heard he was epileptic. Did it make any difference? Or, you know, was it even more of a reason to bring him home?
At first, I was actually really scared because at the point I did have a young stepson. So I just pictured in my head Cameron coming down the stairs, seeing Rolo on the floor, having a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would do something to him. But
right.
that was my biggest fear. And after doing research and then putting in our adoption application, I felt very comfortable with our choice. Because I knew about that they were taking medication so that they didn't have seizures. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm happy we have him.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's great. Now, prior to adopting him, did you ever have any experience with epilepsy or seizures? Or, as you said, you went in and you did research, so you really kind of informed yourself?
Yeah, I never had any experience with it. I've heard of people having seizures. I know someone in my family that used to have them, but I've never actually seen it before.
Now, Rella's on medications. What meds is he on currently? Like, what is his current protocol?
Right now, he's on phenobarbital, and he's been on that since before he was with us. So during the first 6 months that we had him, it was a lot of doctor's appointments and blood work to make sure that the medication that he was on was the right level, which is also very important. Your six-month checkups, very, very important, and they're always correct. So right
okay.
now he takes one 60-milligram pill in the morning and one 60-milligram pill plus a 30-milligram pill in the nighttime, as I have unfortunately seen him have a few seizures, and they've only happened during the nighttime, so that's why we kind of doubled up on the nighttime dose just in case.
And when you were researching, what type of information resources did you discover about canine epilepsy prior to his adoption?
Well, first off, I didn't even know that dogs could have epilepsy. So when I was on Google, I learned a lot. I learned that it was actually very common, especially with like the main German Shepherd breed, for them to have epilepsy. And there's also a lot of resources out there for information. Two of the websites I used the most were the Canine Epilepsy Resource Center and the Canine Epilepsy Network. They had a lot of what to do if your dog has a seizure, how you can prevent it.
What was the convincing factor for you and Brett that Rollo was meant to be a member of your family? Was it him, the way he looked at you, or just something about him? What got you?
I think, before I said that it was my mission to make this dog trust and love me, he fit our lifestyle. He was house trained. He was very laid back. He's quiet.
He is a handsome boy. I don't know if people have to go over and check Rollo out on your page. He's just a very special, handsome boy. And I love it when he has his purple bandana on. I think he knows it.
Wearing
he's sharp.
Wearing it right now.
Now, we have an actual upcoming monumental milestone to be so thankful for with him. May 31st marks Rollo's one-year anniversary of being seizure-free, right?
It does. I'm so excited.
I know. That is such a monumental thing. We're so excited for Rollo, and we really hope that we'll even join in celebrating that day and wear purple for sure. And any special plans to mark that event?
Oh yes, we have some great plans to celebrate. Rollo and I are taking an 800 kilometer road trip. We are going to Jasper, Alberta, so beautiful in the Canadian Rockies. The Fairmont Jasper Park Lodge is actually hosting a Dog Days of May event there, and it happens to be on the May 31st weekend. So we turn the entire resort, which it is dog friendly, but they kind of go over and above the dog friendly. They're having guided hikes. They got a doggy pool. They have with the chef there, they're going to have classes on how to make dog treats, and it's just an entire weekend dedicated to the dog. So me and Rollo are taking a road trip, and we are celebrating in style.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful way. Okay, I'm going to pack my bags now, get Gib in the car, and we'll meet you.
Guys.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You'll definitely have to send me over, a link. I'm sure you're going to be writing about this in the blog, and I would love to share that with everyone. It sounds like a wonderful way to be celebrating this fantastic mile mark. It really is. And as most folks with a dog with epilepsy know, a lot of us go from, one day, when one day turns into 1 week or turns into, a month, that turns into a year. That's huge. And it's just, it's a wonderful blessing, and that's great. Sounds like a fantastic day. I think Rollo's going to have a great time. I think you're going to have a great time.
Oh,
I like
we're so excited.
I like
the countdown on our phone, counting down to the days. I think we're at 68 or something like that till we get there.
Oh, that's fun. I love that they're going to do dog treat recipes, too. That's awesome.
Yeah. And they're doing, a doggy spa, and they said last year they had, 50 dogs attend, and, this resort is huge, and it's very rustic, and the pictures are going to be beautiful.
Can't wait to see it. Now, just for those who are tuning in, you're listening to The Side Vibe on Dog Works Radio, and today we're chatting with Kimberly Matcham, author of Confessions of a Rescue Mom blog, animal advocate and Hugh Mom to Epidog Rollo, a Husky and German Shepherd mix with canine epilepsy. Kimberly and her husband, Kimberly and her husband adopted. You can follow Rollo's life and some awesome adoptable pet highlights, book and product information and reviews, and author interviews on her blog at Confessions of a Rescue Mom.com, as well as on her confessions. I don't seem to want to say that word.
that's okay.
Confessions of a Rescue Mom Facebook page, and also Rescue Mom blog on Twitter and Instagram. We will also have her information posted on my Five Sides blog at fivesides.blogspot.com and over on Dog Works Radio at dogworksradio.com. Look for the tab for our show, The Side Vibe. And remember, you can also tune in or download the show and our other shows on iTunes. So Kimberly, since his adoption in 2011, as a result of the medication, same as with Mike Gibson, we've talked about this a little bit, Rollo has experienced some side effects, including weak hind-end issues, weight gain, and some arthritis. Can you tell us a little bit about how he's doing now and how you're managing the seizures and, what type of things you believe were his triggers and the therapies you've incorporated to help him stay mobile?
Right now, Rollo's doing really good. His legs have been a issue for the past year, finding out that he is starting to get arthritis in his back legs also. So, our main floor of our townhouse is hardwood. So Rollo, we have taught him, he has his own little area with a yoga mat because he can't, sometimes he can't grip to get up, and mm-hmm. he's end up done, doing the splits, which is my biggest fear of not being home and him doing that. So he wears little doggy socks with grips on them. And right now we're trying to do some weight management. So we switched his food in September. And from September till now, he's actually lost 8 pounds, which is actually taking some weight off of his back legs. And we've been going for daily walks so that his legs don't seize up, so that they're at least keeping moving, because he can't go for long walks right now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually fundraised for a doggy stroller, which we just got in the mail a couple weeks ago, also for our May trip, because it's a lot of hiking and stuff, and I felt so bad because he can't enjoy doing that, so at least he'll be able to sit in the doggy stroller and go with the other dogs. And
that's
if he wants
really
to get
great.
Then he has the option of getting out, and if he gets tired, he has the option of getting back in. I haven't really figured out any triggers, because as you probably know, when a dog gets used to taking the medication and their system gets used to it, then that's normally when he has a seizure, normally during the night. So that's when we know that we have to up his medication. So we haven't really seen any triggers smells or anything. I think it's just he needs to be on the medication, because if he isn't, he's going to have a seizure.
Yeah.
Well,
now, I know too, sometimes, as we know, there's so many different things. Of course, when they're idiopathic, we don't really have an explanation for why they have them. I think a lot of us try to look and, figure it out. And, of course, we eliminate as many possible environmental or food triggers. But sometimes you wonder, with shelter dogs, you don't always know what their past was. So stress can be a trigger as well. So sometimes if people... it's a good point to bring up, if you're adopting a dog and you find out he has seizures, give it some time, because once they're on medication, they get settled into a new, calm, loving home. Or maybe not so calm. I don't think my house is that calm. I mean, it is calm at times, but with five, you know. But, you know, I mean, give them a chance to settle in because it's quite possible then between the medication and the new home environment, they could settle into a nice managed type of life where if they're in and out of shelters, being returned, that's a lot of stress on a dog. So hopefully when people do adopt, you know, if they could just give that dog a chance. And hopefully when people do adopt, that they are adopting this dog to be in their family forever. But just, you know, on the side with epilepsy, just give them a little time. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like, with Rollo, when he first started, like, he's down a lot of medication. He used to take 6 pills a day, and now he's only taking 2.5. So
that's wonderful.
It's a stress-free life right now. And one day I'd love to be able to take him off it, but it's always so hard to think about
It
if
is.
You give him as much, then he might have one, and it's so hard to see them have one. And
right, I agree. I think all of us, you know, that's always been our end goal, is to take him off. And same thing with Gibson over the years, you know, because he started at a very young age. And, you know, always we talked about it, but because before he went on medication, he wound up going from one seizure, and then he had very serious cluster seizures and grand mal. So we just said, you know what, if he's managed, you know, and same as you, he was on a very high dose of medication in the beginning, and then there was a change in the formulation of he's on phenobarbital and potassium bromide. There was a formulation change, and he wound up with bromide toxicity. And within a half a day, he went from functioning to looking like he was totally drunk, falling on the floor, couldn't even walk. You know, it started his back end gave, his front end gave, his head slammed the floor. And thankfully, my vet literally is in my backyard. It's right around the corner from me. And they drastically reduced his bromide, and he went from 1,300 milligrams to 600 so they could detox him. And then thankfully he came back from that. And then we said, you know, let's just see how he does. You know, and I keep getting his blood work tested, of course, every 5 to 6 months. He's having it done again next Friday. And his levels have stayed great. So I always say, if something bad comes something good. And for us, I never wanted him to go through this bromide toxicity, but he now is at such a reduced level, I also noticed it gave him more of a spark back, and that's where we're keeping him at. But again, you know, it's adjusting in, giving them time to adjust to medication, and it's huge when we can reduce them. So we, too, always look at, well, one day I'd like to get him off it. Him at 9 now, it's kind of like, you know, his levels are always good, you know. So it's, you know, I'd rather keep him quality life, I guess, you know, is what I'm trying to say. Then, even though we all entertain that dream of, I would love to take Gib off one day and just, you know, let him be a happy dog without medication. But,
yeah,
you know, we're doing okay with medication, and I'm good with that. And I think he's happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, with International Purple Day for supporting epilepsy around the world coming up on the 26th, and as I said earlier, this is my 4th year as an official ambassador. I know you and Rollo are going to be decked out in purple also, and I know you had stated that you're collecting photos for EpiDogs to be included in a Facebook album to be shared with folks. So where can people send these photos to if they'd like to have their EpiDog be part of this?
They can visit our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/rescuemomblog, and just send us a message on there. There's a little message button under a picture of Rollo. Or they can email it to us, which is info@confessionsofarescuemom.com.
Okay, and you and Rollo were special guests at Edmonton Epilepsy Association Conference in Alberta, where you talked about Rollo's epilepsy and folks got to meet him. Can you tell us about that and what your main message was you hoped that you were able to deliver while you guys were there?
We took a road trip to Edmonton one weekend to go visit a friend, and we got in contact with the Edmonton Epilepsy Association and pitched the idea of Rollo and I just stopping by. We brought some magazines that Rollo was featured in, some blog cards and pens to give out, and some wristbands. So we actually got invited up to address the crowd, which I actually didn't know that we were going to be able to do. I thought we were just going to be, like, mingling with the crowd and talking to people, and I got to bring Rollo with me. And so we got invited up there to talk what it was like having a dog with epilepsy, because everyone there was all about they had doctors talking about human epilepsy, and it was all focused on humans. So like me, before we adopted Rolla, many of them actually didn't know that animals could get epilepsy. So we talked about his medication routine, some features he's been in. We chatted about our blog. And we hope that the message that we delivered to the people attending was that no matter what you are, this disease has brought us together, and together we must stay strong and support one another.
What do you see as the biggest challenge or challenges of being a parent to an epi dog?
I think I'm very overprotective. with Rolo and his legs on our floor, I always think about if I'm at work, is he going to slip on the floor? Is he going to fall down the stairs? Is he going to have a seizure while I'm at work? So it's and I have to schedule all my stuff around him, which I totally don't mind, but you have to make sure that you get his medication in the morning, that he gets his medication at night, that his water dish is always full because they drink so much more water. And
right.
Another thing is, when I travel without him, which has only been 3 times that I haven't traveled with him, it's making sure that you have someone responsible to make sure that he gets his medication, make sure that they let them outside and that he's okay. And I think those are the 2 biggest challenges, I guess.
Right. Now, on the flip side, what are the rewards to being the parent of an epi dog?
I think it gives us a different bond. Rather than having a dog that you don't have to give daily medication to, that he, when I pull out that piece of cheese with that pill in it, his full attention is on that piece of cheese. And he actually will not eat his dinner unless he has his medication.
Well, it's his hors d'oeuvre, right?
And also, of course, like the ability to be able to meet and interact with people of the epi community, and they're also supportive and ask questions, and then you can help them answer them or give them what's happened with you. So it's,
yeah, and I mean, because some people don't realize there are really great rewards to having them. And, you know, just to touch back on that bond that you talk about, I mean, I so agree with that. People know how close I am with Gibson, and I love all my sibs, but there is that extra special bond with Gib. And I honestly don't know if it's because of Gib or if it's because of the epilepsy, but I do know, you know, of course, I put more time into it with his rehab and his therapy. I don't even have to speak sometimes to him, and he knows exactly what I need him to do. And I'm laughing when you mentioned about the cheese. It's kind of like an hors d'oeuvre for them, you know, where a lot of people, and I'm sure you probably heard too, like, oh, that poor dog, he has to take so much medicine. No, he gets treats. He thinks this is great. I have 4 others run at the same time. It's medication time because they all think it's treat time. So for them, it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Now, if someone was thinking about adopting a dog and discovered that he or she had seizures, what would be your advice to them?
I would tell them that if they're going to adopt them or discover that the animal has seizures, that they're really not that different than how they were before they had seizures. One main thing that we like to push is don't give up on them. And then, of course, also make sure you seek vet advice, because sometimes it could just be a one-time seizure or it could be many seizures. So it's always good to get advice and also find out proper ways of controlling the seizures.
Right. Excellent advice. Now let's talk about your blog, Confessions of a Rescue Mom. First, congratulations on your 2-year anniversary, March 11th, 2013. You launched the blog site. So that's an awesome, milestone for you. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I know it's grown tremendously since then. And what was your initial inspiration behind writing the blog?
Well, Rolo was, of course, my inspiration. We like to spread the message about, because if people have read Rolo's story that he has on our blog, they would know that Rolo actually didn't like me for the first couple months. and now he is so attached to my hip, his foot is on my leg right now. He is always needs on the same floor of the house as me. He needs to be by me. And so basically we started the blog actually to help Rollo's former shelter, the Fort McMurray SPCA. We love social media. We love Twitter. We love helping out shelters, of course. So we made the blog to help out the SPCA. So we would go to the shelter, take pictures of the animals, write up a story about them, post it on our blog. We would talk about how you can volunteer there, what they're looking to volunteer, talk about their event. So it was to help them.
And it's evolved, like, not only do you do that, but you do so many other things on your blog as well now. It's a terrific blog. I hope everyone goes there and checks it out. And just in your words, tell us now all the things that you do cover on your blog.
Well, since it did grow so fast, we decided to expand and not just feature Rollo's former shelter, but we actually has featured shelters from all around the world, Australia, Mexico, all over the States and Canada. So like our tagline suggests, it's a go-to resource for all things furry. So we feature many different things. It's kind of a whole whack of things. We do pet product reviews. We also do interviews with other pet bloggers, so it kind of introduced you to all of our pet blogging friends, so you can find out about their blogs. We do some recipes and do-it-yourself crafts, and of course, most importantly, spotlight adorable adoptables looking for their forever homes.
Now, I know I've been fortunate enough to have been highlighted a few times over the past years on your wonderful blog, and thank you so much for that. I know my very first time was for Canine Epilepsy Awareness, and that's when you did an author spotlight on me. And that, and I'm going to give dates this way. If any of our listeners, I think that's the easiest way if they want to go back and they can plug in the date to find these posts. But that was December 17, 2013, and that was for my very first Five Sides Tale, and that was the What's Wrong with Gibson, Learning About Canine Epilepsy, and that was a great piece, thank you. And you also did a wonderful book review of it this past January 20th. And you just recently highlighted my latest book, Getting Healthy with Harley, in a January 9th post. And that's really terrific. And I go in there and I periodically read, and you do this with other dogs and other pet parents and other authors and, like you said, bloggers. And if listeners want to check out those posts, they can visit confessionsofarescuemom.com, search the post by date. And Kimberly, I know you're always on the lookout for, you know, new people, new books. What type of books are you looking for to review, and how can an author or blogger go about getting their book reviewed to you on your site or their blog?
Well, right now we're only accepting children's books and short stories for review, 'cause we don't actually have enough time to read a whole novel. But to do that, you can just get in contact with us through email, so info@confessionsofarescuemom.com. I can send you the author interview to be filled in, which is basically all about the book also. Then the book just gets sent to us. We schedule it in our blog schedule. We post a review, and then it forever stays on. We have a special link that's a product review gallery, so it always stays on there. And then we also have an album on Facebook where the review also stays there.
Wonderful. And again, for our listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the Side Vibe on Dog Works Radio. Today we're chatting with Kimberly Matcham, author of Confessions of a Rescue Mom blog, animal advocate and Hugh Mom to Epidog Rollo, a Husky and German Shepherd mix with canine epilepsy that Kimberly and her husband adopted. You can follow Rollo's life and some awesome pet adoptable highlights, book and product reviews, as we were just saying, and author interviews over on her blog, as well as on her Facebook page, the same name. And you can also follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Rescue Mom Blog. We'll also, again, have her information posted on our Five Sides blog at fivesides.blogspot.com, on our Five Sides Facebook page, and over on Dog Works Radio at dogworksradio.com. Just look for the tab for our show, The Side Vibe. And remember, you can also tune in to this show or any other show or download it on iTunes. Now, Kimberly, you also do a lot for Rollo's Shelter, and that's the Fort McMurray SPCA, which you were a member of the board of directors from 2013 to 14. Can you tell us a little bit about your work there and the fundraising you and Rollo did and do to help the shelter?
Well, our list of fundraising is quite long, as once we adopted Rollo in June, that's when... Well, we started going to the shelter more and more helping them walk dogs. We also took the dog walking course, which is amazing. because it teaches you how to properly train a dog to walk on a leash, which when you go into a shelter, a dog that walks on a leash is more adoptable, I guess, because they're not pulling on the leash and you don't have to train them. It's just better for the dogs to have it. So we were able to go there and take the dogs that needed some extra help and kind of help train them. So we have done a lot of fundraising. One really cool thing that we did, well, actually I did, was compete in the Misswood Buffalo Pageant. So I was in a beauty pageant for dogs. Basically what they did is they had four categories. There was Miss, and there was Teen, and then there was MRS, and then there was MS. So I competed in the MISS. Because I wasn't married at the time, and it was also in May, and I know that we worked on it for probably a good 4 months because we had to do an opening act, we took courses on how to walk, and basically this pageant was for the SPCA because all of the ticket proceeds and the girls that were in it were actually supposed to fundraise for the SPCA, so I actually raised $3,500 for the shelter through the pageant. I didn't win my category, but I lost by 0.5, which isn't very much.
No, it's not.
And I won the title of Miss Big Spirit, which I definitely think is me because when you meet me in person, I'm very bubbly and
That's awesome.
I have a lot of spark, I guess.
Now, I have to ask you, you said you had to do something. Did you have to perform? What did you wind up doing?
Oh, like on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't have to do talent, but we had to do, we did a swimsuit, sad face. we had to answer questions, two questions, which I remember that one of my answers was, it was something about my dog, Rolo. we also had an evening gown, and then we had to do an opening act, and it was so much fun because, you know what, I didn't win, but I thought I was a pretty good ambassador for the SPCA.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do something like that, so bravo to you. And I think in our correspondence, I just want to mention to our listeners, too, as of December 2014, you guys fundraised money and material items and donated to the shelter, tallying up to around $10,000?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I did a rough estimate of how much we have fundraised and donated to Rolo's former shelter. That's through the sponsored walks that we had to do, like the walk to end animal abuse, which is actually coming up here in April. So we fundraised for that. Rolo and I also host a annual Christmas fundraiser, and we've been doing that for 3 years now. And last year we donated $700 to the Fort McMurray SPCA. We donated $200 to a new animal rescue in town. And then we also donated another $200 to actually an Epi dog that lives in the States. His name is Huey, that we felt like this big connection with him online. And so we donated to him because he just became canine epileptic. And his story, like, it touched my heart, and I seen it on Facebook because I was following his pitbull sister and seen a post about his parents having a GoFundMe account looking for help for, like, the blood work and stuff because I know it can get so expensive. And reading all these people's comments about how the animal should be put down and how why would you do that for an animal? Why would you spend all this money? Like, I started crying.
Mm-hmm.
I was so sad. So
I know. And, you know, that's one of the biggest misconceptions, I think, that is still out there. And I know we work hard on this, too, as you do, because, you know, the recommendations of in the past was if a dog had seizures, to euthanize them. And that is so not the case today. There are so many resources, so many, medications and therapies and holistic things to try and dietary measures that just isn't the case anymore today. And, you know, I know we work hard on trying to change that stigma that if a dog has seizures or a dog is diagnosed as canine epileptic, unless there is a very drastic underlying health issue, and on a few occasions there are where maybe there's a brain tumor or something like that, and this goes back to what you were saying, you know, you have to have a great relationship with your vet, and you really do have to consult with them and, you know, run some tests, find out what's going on with the dog. But in a majority of the cases, I mean, there are definite medications and holistic measures and therapies to really try that. You know, that is so not a thing that I think should be even entertained today, unless it's absolutely, you know, nothing else that can be done for the dog where the dog might be in stress or a medical, situation. So, you know, I think it is really important that, but I'm with you. I cry when I see people go, just put the dog down.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, and you and I are talking about the people who are being flippant, you know, not dogs that are having some, you know, like we said, a serious maybe brain injury or something like that. That of course, that's always different. But, you know, I think it just goes to, you know, you have a dog in your family. It's a family member. You know, it's not like having a book. It's like having, it really is another member of the family. And, you know, same here with my five. I'm going to do whatever I need to do, whatever they need, the same as you. And, you know, I think that's a great message that you're getting out there. Now, I know how important canine epilepsy awareness is, of course, you know, to you as well. And I know through this journey, we both have met some wonderful people who really love and care and treat their dogs with canine epilepsy, as well as amazing epi dogs themselves. And, you know, we have Rollo and Gibson to thank for bringing us together. What else about this journey are you most appreciative that maybe otherwise would never have occurred?
I still think the bond that Rollo and I have created, like we wouldn't have been able to share with others, like how we are and how epilepsy hasn't changed them. Just like your book states, a story about amazing dogs living and loving life with canine epilepsy.
Yeah, and it is such an important message, and I'm so happy to have met you and all the parents of all, and I call them Epi stars because they really are stars. But they really do show us, and if anyone's not sure and they take a look at any of these stories, and yes, some of them, you know, some of them are heartbreaking, some of them are heartwarming, but the bottom line is these dogs, in between everything and anything, they still go out there and they love life. They live life to the fullest. And, you know, I think that's a great thing to take away from it. So it really, you're right, the relationship is amazing. And these dogs have a lot to teach us, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know. Now, Robert, are you still with us? Okay, he must not be at the moment.
Yes, I am here.
Are you there? I know. Yeah. Sometimes I can monopolize any show about epilepsy. So I just wanted to kind of pop in there and just see, is there anything that you would want to ask Kimberly before I continue on?
Oh, no. You guys are always doing such great work together, and I'm always amazed at all these Epi dog stories that we hear on here. It's such inspiration and dedication to what you guys do, Dorothy, and all of your guests. It's so awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, we try, right, Kimberly?
Yeah.
You know, I think hopefully, you know, one person, you know, if we can help one dog and one person at a time just by getting our stories out there and bringing this awareness to the forefront, then I think that's a really great thing. Now, Kimberly, if you could only choose one main message, one important fact to drive home about having a dog who lives with canine epilepsy, what would you want to impress upon people?
I would say don't give up on them. Like the great quote, to the world you may just be one person, but to one person you may be their world.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really great. Now, before we sign off, is there anything else that you, anything coming up or anything that you want to let our listeners know before we close off for the day?
We're always posting new stuff on our blog. We try to post every single weekday. So there's always something new, you never get bored.
No, you don't. And there's lots of tabs within the blog as well to kind of, you know, surf around and see. And as you said, you know, you have, you know, Rollo's health journey is on there. You have your product reviews. You know, you also have an event calendar as well as information about Rollo. There's ways people can follow you on your other social media. And you also have a media kit and PR. So if anyone is interested, they can go to that tab and kind of get all the information they need, right?
Yeah.
Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us today. And to all our listeners and readers, you can help support canine epilepsy, even if you do not have an epi dog, by wearing purple, have your own pet wear purple, color your social media site purple, and remember the day is March 26th, and let the world know that epi dogs can and do live full, happy lives for however long we're blessed to have them. Then send your post and your photos over onto both of our Facebook pages. And don't forget, if you have a blog, join in our Purple Day blog hop at http://5sides.blogspot.com. And I do think just the regular www will get you over there, too. Again, if you're not familiar with what blog hop is, basically it's a way of networking everybody. So you would be able to click on Get a Code. You would add that on the bottom of your blog post, and then it would connect your blog post to everybody else's blog post, and then hopefully what will happen is we can create a nice community of support there. The directions will be right in the blog post on that date, so we hope everyone will join in. And Gibbs and I will be there, and so will Kimberly and Rollo, and we sure hope everybody will be there. And Robert, that's pretty much it for us today, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, great job as always. Thank you very much, Kimberly, for joining us today, and hope the weather is nice there in Alberta. We're getting into spring here, so we're looking forward to doing all those spring tasks. Dorothy, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Sounds great. Kimberly, take care and give Rollo a big hug for us.
I'll see if he'll say hi. Can you squeak?
Oh,
Rollo?
Yeah.
Rollo, come on. Can you squeak? Come here. Come on.
Oh. Hey, that was great.
That was more of a laying down growl.
Oh, well, right, I think that's the best way to take us out of a show. What do you think, Robert?
I think
thank you,
perfect.
Rollo.
Thank you. We'll see you guys
thank
next
you guys
time.
So much.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.